Good evening. I'd like to call the December 7, 2010 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Proto?
I wouldn't miss this particular meeting for the world. Present.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Aye.
Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Chuck?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsee?
Here.
Mrs. Mafeen Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Present.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
14 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Tonight, following the consent agenda, to accommodate staff who are here and members of the public, I'd like to ask that we go directly to the Planning Committee report and resolution first, and then we'll go to Resolution Z, member filed resolution on the Arrowhead project. So with that, for the public, privilege of the floor, you have 3 minutes to speak, and Kathy will help you with keeping time. I have folks signed up. If anybody else wants to speak after we've gotten through these names, you can just join us. You can just go to the microphone and state your name and tell us what you want. Carolyn Peterson and then Don Harville.
Good evening. I'm not used to speaking in three-minute increments, but I am going to be brief. Mayor Carolyn Peterson, City of Ithaca. I just want to address the agenda item very briefly that Martha Robertson, Chair Robertson, referred to, mostly because I want to address you myself rather than others, trying to convey what the city's concerns are about the agenda item in regards to the Arrowhead development. And I've already made similar remarks at the IDA hearing, so I will be brief. First of all, a certain business was ready to locate in the downtown area of Ithaca. I received an email from that business about 2 months ago asking if it is true that there are no abatements in Tompkins County for retail. In that email, the person said they had spoken to the planning department of the city, the Ithaca Urban Renewal Agency, and the Tompkins County Area Development, and were told clearly and unequivocally that there are no abatements for retail in Tompkins County. They have written to me because they didn't really understand that, because it certainly isn't true in many communities across the country, in fact. So I wanted to let you know about that particular business and how this possibility may affect future businesses of retail locating in the city and other locations. I also want to let you know that the city does have a special area. It used to be called the density policy, where there are developments because it's a recognized area, a difficult area to develop. The community investment incentive policy took a couple years to develop, and in fact, the county, I believe, had a companion piece of legislation to go with it. Many of the issues that the city must face for development seem not to be developed for this particular project that is being proposed. These are areas of affordability. I bring up affordability because I haven't heard that discussion in regards to housing attached to this project. This is one that is very often asked, especially on the CIIP. Living wage issues, LEED construction for sustainability, all these kinds of criteria, and there are actually approximately 26 points that are available under the CIIP project, I have not seen in relation to a PIF project. So my bottom line question is, what do I tell businesses in the city of Ithaca? Do we have a well-developed criteria from the county or from the IDA how to handle projects that may be coming forward to the city of Ithaca? Are there, in fact, abatements available for city projects and for retail? My biggest concern is that this has not been worked out with a very clear and appropriate and reasoned methodology for how a development can apply for this kind of abatement. So the level playing field I'm here to talk about is not what's been conveyed about the city, which is, hey, we want this here, we want the taxes here. That's the simple way of saying what the city's concerns are. Our concerns are broader. They have to do with precedent setting for this particular project, how this is going to be evaluated for other projects in the future, and what that means for other parts of our municipality, our villages, our towns, the city in Tompkins County.
Carolyn, could you wrap up?
And I appreciate it for your listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Three minutes is short.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Dan Harthill and then Micah Plinkelaer.
I'm Don Harthill, Mayor of the Village of Lansing, speaking in opposition to the previous speaker. We consider this project very important to our economic well-being in the village. It's a project of three components. And in fact, the commercial part of that project is not part of the abatement. It's the residential piece and the remediation of the wetlands that are associated on that particular parcel that is in fact the subject of the PIF. And so that needs to be clearly understood. And so we're not subsidizing commercial things. The other thing that is true that is in the past, in fact, the IDA, according to their website, invested a very significant amount of money in the Rothschilds department store at the time that the commons were developed. And so there has been a precedent for support of commercial enterprises in by the IDA. The reason that we feel this project is very important in the village is three components. One is the housing. There are 12 units of senior housing that will be available as rentals at market rate. And the reason that we want that is that it provides a very nice transition from the residential area across the street on the property to the commercial section. The commercial section does not involve any increased infrastructure because it will be serviced by the existing infrastructure of the shops at Ithaca. The other piece is remediating the wetlands to provide a bird habitat and a nice walking way. The apartment complex, or the 12 units of housing, are within easy walking distance of the shops and restaurants and other things. If the project doesn't go forward, that parcel will remain at its current assessment, and the property tax income from that will remain the same. With the proposed PIF, that property tax increase will be about 40% of its current value and escalate over a period of 20 years to its full value. In the meantime, the sales tax revenue from this will be about 20 times the abatement costs of the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Micah Plinkelaer and then Faye Gugakis.
Good to be with you. I'm Micah Plinkelaer from Town of Lansing. I'm here representing Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County. I'm here to explain what the orange bags on your desks are for. They're not trick-or-treat bags that are late. They're actually packets that were delivered around Tompkins County at the end of October, energy efficiency education packets to 5,000 households. So I'm here to first thank you for your greenhouse gas element of the comprehensive plan. And Cooperative Extension is partnering with you to try to achieve those very lofty and bold goals through energy efficiency education across the county. And we did have 5,000 packets delivered. Of those, 500 people actually delivered little pledge cards back to Cooperative Extension saying they would do something, take an action, put their compact fluorescent light bulb in, or take other steps. And out of that group, we had a raffle. And so 26 people won prizes worth over, $2,000 for energy efficiency. So thank you for your boldness. Thank you for following this issue. It's very important that you continue to follow it and you encourage your residents and constituents to invest in energy efficiency. We hope to have another day of distributing packets throughout Tompkins County next October because Cornell has their 20th anniversary of Into the Streets. We have lots of volunteers who are willing to do this kind of thing. If you don't, you probably don't need any more motivation or reminders, but there's lots of good reasons to invest in energy efficiency and have your constituents follow this issue. Certainly dollars are saved, and very important in these tight fiscal times to save every dollar. Energy savings are permanent and they accumulate over time. Research shows that even when you begin to take some small steps and they're successful, you take larger and larger steps to invest in energy efficiency. Local jobs are created, skills are developed for the long term that can apply across the community. Momentum is built in this whole area of energy efficiency as neighbors talk to neighbors and friends, and then it does indeed eventually, you know, decrease greenhouse gas emissions. And when change happens at home, people bring those changes and the awareness of those changes to their workplaces and their organizations. So it's definitely a multiplier effect. What can you do to continue to help achieve your own bold goals across the county? Cooperative Extension is able to do energy efficiency presentations to any group. You can inform municipalities, town officials in your towns you represent. We can do presentations and workshops to them, to organizations in those areas. So just let us know. Give us a call. We are open to friendly cross-community competitions. You know, can my community save more energy per household than your community? And we can help sponsor those. We're seeking community reps for each town to help us focus and coordinate our efforts in each municipality. And if you haven't done so yet, you can have your home audited. Green Jobs New York has mechanisms for free energy audits. So again, thank you for your frontier and basically groundbreaking policies that you've led the region with, and I can actually continue to share those with your other leaders in this county and across the region. You're a model, you are visible, and your voice counts, so we will try to help you stay out in front of these issues. The next energy efficiency workshop in the area is going to be December 15th. That's 8 days from now. It's open to the public. There's refreshments. It's at Forest Home Chapel, 7 to 9 p.m. Please spread the word. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Mike. Faye Gugakis, then Nels Baum.
Good evening, Faye Gugakis, City of Ithaca. I first want to quickly say that when the resolution for banning hydrofracking on county lands comes up, I hope that it is a unified and unanimous vote. Please strive for that, because the city is also working on something, and it would be great to have a unified front as well as for the whole state. I came here tonight to talk about an issue that's very difficult for me, and I know many other Ithacans talk about. Last week in the Ithaca Journal, November 30th, there was an article on the State Street and Martin Luther King dual designation name. And I'm here to talk about that. Your resolution, as it states in front of you today, at the last paragraph, which I'm not going to repeat right now, seems to me very vague and very unclear. Now, that's not why I came here. I came here to talk about the issue itself. It's hard for me to say this, but I've said it before when the vote was happening, and the mayor's here, and she heard that. I was opposed to the dual designation. And I know a lot of people who were also opposed and were afraid to come to that meeting that night. Ithaca should not be, people should not be living in fear in our community because they have an opposing view. And certainly, when you have an opposing view that has to do with certain issues, one should not be labeled. And I know for a fact, from many people I spoke to, the issue of racism played out on this in this particular issue. If you were not for it, then you were racist. That's how it was presented at Common Council. I was there. I was there at the Board of Public Works. The city was threatened. If you weren't going to rename the street, then therefore the community was racist. And to me, that is a real sad way to propose something. Okay, which that in itself did not allow me to support it, because I do not feel that that was a very respectful way to deal with this issue. There is racism in the world, and it must be taken seriously, and I don't know anybody who doesn't love Martin Luther King. But I'll tell you, I've spoken to many people. It has nothing to do with Martin Luther King. The fact that you're naming two names to a street makes it very confusing. I'm from New York City, and for the longest time, I could never figure out where was the Avenue of Americas. And I mean that seriously. When I read the Ithaca Journal, and it said that Google doesn't have State Street, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my God, how confusing is it for tourism? We're talking about tourist area. For a tourist to look at the map and say, you know, there's no State Street on Google. So I haven't seen it because I don't do a lot of internet stuff. But the thing is, it created divisiveness in our community. And I think people have remained silent because for me to come before you to speak tonight is very hard. Can I just have a little overrun? It's very hard because I don't know what somebody's going to think of me after I walk away from the mic. You know, but this is not an issue about Martin Luther King. It's an issue, I feel strongly, as well as other people, that it is really dumb to name a street two names. It is very confusing, as you can see how people are very torn, or advertising. I mean, it's a very long name, not to mention, like, one street sign says MLK, another street sign says State Street. The other thing, too, which I still strongly feel, it is an emergency issue.
Okay,
Somebody's having an emergency or a rape is happening and somebody's calling the police, okay, that's too much to remember. And I still stand by that, and I still stand by the issue of confusion, and I still stand by the issue of divisiveness. We have divided this community in a way that it should have never happened, should have never been made into a racist issue. And
Faye,
I say this...
We got it. Yeah, thank you. Nels yeah, Bone is next.
I'm sorry to take
finished,
so
Faye.
Long, but it's really very difficult to...
Nels and then Philly DeSarno.
Good evening. My name is Nels Bone. I'm the Director of Community Development for the Ithaca Urban Renewal Agency. I'd like to speak about Resolution Z to incentivize BJ's wholesale retail store. I support the use of recovery zone bonds for that project, but I oppose the use of PIFs. The PIFs will earmark a large portion of the property taxes generated by that project to provide funding for the adjacent housing on the project. My reason for opposing this is that I think that the project does not meet the IDA's own criteria for providing assistance for non-industrial projects. Secondly, I think it establishes a double standard for projects that have been reviewed by the IDA that are non-industrial in nature, because those projects go through a very rigorous process that look at other benefits of the project, not just tax revenues, such as affordable housing and some of the issues the mayor mentioned earlier. And third, that the IDA has not developed a policy for use of the PIF program at all, again, in contrast to the use of the downtown density policy, which went through rigorous debate and a lot of revision to hammer out a consensus on how to provide incentives for non-industrial uses in the downtown area, a very targeted area that was agreed on by a wide consensus. Finally, I wanted to mention two things additionally. One is that in regard to the Rothschild mention that there was assistance by the IDA. My recollection is working in the IDA, IURA, is that the Rothschild project received a special urban renewal assistance for demolishing and preparing the site and selling the land for that development. And secondly, that the IDA provided tax-exempt bond financing, but not the funding to repay the tax-exempt bond financing. The PIF will set up a revenue stream to pay the bonds in this project. So it's a really different approach. And secondly, there was very earmarked money for urban renewal zones that were pre-established for that project. Finally, I wanted to mention that I think the numbers you might be hearing about the retail sales increase in the county provided this project is grossly overstated. The developer's commission-owned study suggests that 45% of the inventory that's sold at a BJ's is in the food and pharmacy section, which is an area where the county already imports sales. There's no leakage of that area. At a gross number, we have more people coming into Tompkins County to shop than we do have people leaving for that area. And secondly, their study suggests that the way they achieve their $40 million of net sales in the county would be to import people into the county as a destination. I don't think that a BJ's next to a pyramid constitutes a destination retail shopping experience, given the way BJ's locates stores in the future. They have 38 in New York State already. And finally, I wanted to mention they have additional comments that go into further detail about these statements that I'll pass out if you want to take a look at the more in-depth statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Nels. Philly DeSarno, then Gina Spina.
Hello, I'm Philly DeSarno, and I'm Economic Development Deputy Director for the City of Ithaca. And I support what the mayor and Nels have just talked about to you, and I don't want to take a lot of time and be repetitious, so I will say this. I've worked now in the city for about 5 years, and very often we get calls from throughout the country from retailers who are interested in coming to our city. And I have always told them, as everyone at the city has told them, there are no abatements, there are no incentive programs for retail in downtown, especially for big boxes. So I would just ask this body to really consider what you're hearing. It's a lot of information, it's a confusing kind of project, but to say that they're two separate things and no incentive is going to the retail I don't think that's legitimate. I mean, you wouldn't do one project without the other is what the developer is saying. And I'm sorry to be on this side of this development, really, because normally I'm supportive of economic development, but this one really doesn't make sense to me. So thank you. Please consider what you're voting on. Thank you.
Thank you. Gina Spino and then Alan Peterson.
Hello, my name is Gina Spino, and I'm the general manager at the Shops at Ithaca Mall. BJ's Wholesale Club, the 12th senior housing complex, and the Bird Sanctuary will be a wonderful addition to our neighborhood. This project will be positive for Tompkins County. The sales tax revenue to the municipalities, in the county on an annual basis belongs in Tompkins County. The research consumer study provided by Arrowhead indicates we're losing $140 million in sales. As general manager of the Shops at Ithaca Mall, I can tell you firsthand, we need these sales to stay in Tompkins County. We need to work together and to ensure that they do. BJ's had expressed their interest to be in the Village of Lansing. If they wanted to be in the city, we would not be standing here today. If this project does not move forward, BJ's will move to another county in another state. Are you really prepared to lose this potential sales tax revenue for your county and chase more retail sales to another county? The diverse selection offered by a wholesale BJ's club impacts no one type of store as much as it impacts all types of stores in some small way. It will help, however, continue to build a strong retail mix in our county. The industrial development agencies were formed to increase economic growth and for many years included mostly industrial development projects. Retail was only permitted under strict regulations. Today, IDAs are now permitted to consider retail because there is no industry and economic growth is needed more now than ever. BJ's in this project is economic growth. There are industrial development agencies throughout the state who work hard and make difficult reviews of applications and projects to enhance their economic growth just like you. It would be hard to believe any of them would turn down the opportunity to put sales tax revenue into their county during an economy like this. You are all aware of the economy. Banks are not willing to work with businesses. Finding national retailers to expand in our county is a blessing. This is an opportunity for you to embrace something positive and take advantage of an opportunity to increase revenue generated from sales tax dollars and to make a step towards reducing the number of shoppers leaving this county to spend their sales tax dollars in another county. After all, it's not a line between the City of Ithaca and their county, the Village of Lansing, the Commons, or the Shops at Ithaca Mall. Everyone benefits when we all work together and keep people shopping locally. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Alan Peterson and Gina McPheeters.
Good evening. My name is Alan Peterson. I'm a resident of the town of Ulysses. I'm here on behalf of Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce, of which I'm a board member, and I'm also a representative of the Tompkins County Workforce Investment Board. And I'm here to urge you to approve the proposed PIF for the proposed BJ's Wholesale Club complex. From my perspective, a couple of things. Number one, this is an opportunity for our community to gain employment. Short-term employment gains in the construction arena, long-term and stable employment from a large, well-known employer. An opportunity to bring in probably in excess of $750,000 of sales tax revenue, dollars which can only benefit our county. The creation of additional units of senior housing, which are very critical to our community and our county. Creation of a managed wetlands area, also very important and continues along with sustainability. The ability to capture some of the retail sales dollars that continue to leak from our community. The ability to attract out-of-county buyers, which can also result in increased retail sales for our current merchants here in the community. And from what I understand, there will be no competitive advantage to the BJ's Wholesale Club because the deal arranged through Tompkins TCAD for the tax abatement indicates that BJ's would be paying market rate rent, including property taxes. Therefore, it's not a tax abatement for the big box retail. In conclusion, I encourage each of you to take advantage of the opportunity to support a project that really does not have a downside and, in fact, brings many positives to Tompkins County. In today's economic challenging times, we cannot afford to turn our backs on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jean McPheeters, and then Carolyn Mrazek.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jean McPheeters. I live in the town of Caroline, and I am the president of the Chamber of Commerce, which is located in the town of Ithaca. I'm here to ask for your support of the resolution filed by Mr. Dennis to approve the issuance and use of recovery fund bonds for a project in the village of Lansing that would include 12 units of senior housing in the site of the proposed BJ's Wholesale Club. I am supporting this project because it will increase sales tax revenues by approximately $748,000 per year at a conservative estimate. These taxes would be shared by Tompkins County towns and the towns and villages throughout the county. For instance, the town of Dryden would receive about $54,000 per year. The 2011 budget that this legislature recently passed increased the tax levy by 5.98% and the countywide average tax rate by 7.9% to $6.47 per thousand. A 1% increase in the county budget costs roughly $350,000. So the additional tax sales taxes would pay for more than 2% of the town of the county budget. I think it is clearly imperative to continue to state that the tax abatement would show no competitive advantage to BJ's Wholesale Club, which would be paying market rate rent, including property taxes. This is not a tax abatement for big box retail. This is a carefully constructed plan that TCAD did a huge amount of work on to go along with the requirements set by the Village of Lansing and try to bring in some economic development to our community. I want to congratulate TCAD on some very hard work. I also say that this will bring needed jobs to our community. I know that they're entry-level positions, but you know, everybody had to start with an entry-level job. I also want to just relate two quick stories that happened this afternoon as I was talking to people about coming here tonight. One is a local hotelier who said, boy, I'd love to have a BJ's here because I go to Sam's Club over in the Arnott Mall area because that's where I get the supplies for my hotel because I can get them at an incredible rate and the BJ's would really help. And then I talked to a local sandwich shop owner who said exactly the same thing. So some of the sales that we're losing could really be regained just from people here who are leaving our community to shop at these kinds of wholesale clubs, particularly other businesses, which I'm stunned that they're doing that. And when I think about the gas costs, they're going there. But they clearly, there's an economic advantage for them to do it, and they're trying to keep their businesses going in these hard times. I know this is a difficult decision. I really ask for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Carolyn Mrazek, and then James Bold.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Carolyn Mrazek. I'm in the city of Ithaca, and I'm here to ask for your support in the resolution filed by Mr. Dennis to approve the issuance and the use of the recovery funds to support the Village of Lansing in development of the 12 units for senior housing and the BJ's Wholesale. Now, I represent a member of the Landlords Association. I own two student properties. I've only been in this area for 5 years, so I'm hearing so many things that I'm already thinking, wow, everybody's done such great research, and I appreciate that, and it's a great town to live in. I come from Binghamton, and maybe that skews me a little bit towards the big box, but I wouldn't want this town ever to become Binghamton. I'm happy that Vestal got Vestalized, and I don't like to visit there anymore. And I want Ithaca to stay pure and natural, and you have such beautiful resources. Having said that, I go to Binghamton, to Macy's, I go to Sam's Club, I send my clients, I'm also a Warren real estate agent, and I love the boutique feel of the Commons, and there's wonderful shops there. But when you got a shop for two college kids and a grandchild, you want a little more option. And I just, so I'm hearing where the tax abatement and the jobs and everything. I really think everybody's done a great job. I'm just one little voice saying, please try not to set a precedent of saying no to business development. Our taxes are twice what I paid for a much bigger home in Binghamton. That I'm sure everybody knows the difference is there. And I see them going up and up and up, and I can't keep passing it on to my tenants, or certainly to my clients. But I do feel that you're at risk of setting a precedent when you give abatements to some and not to others. And I don't know the history of that terribly well. But by also saying no to an opportunity that there's a lot of support for, I think that risks a real negative image to this community. And I'd like to see you vote yes for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. James Bold and Julie Crowley.
Hi, my name is Jim Bold, and I'm a consultant to Arrowhead Ventures, and I provide all of the construction support as well as consultant management services. And I've been working on this project now for over 2 years, and have spent an awful lot of time on the design and on meeting a lot of different objectives relative to interested stakeholders that have been in this project. And in all the time that we worked, we always thought about the community and what the needs in this community were. And we spent an inordinate amount of time working with the Village of Lansing and with the Planning Board and Board of Trustees on how to integrate housing, the wetlands, which were social and community benefits, and how to integrate that carefully with retail. And I think we came up with what we think is an excellent plan. And I don't think anybody could really criticize the plan itself. But all of this is about economics. And it's about somebody who wants to be in the community. It's about somebody who wants to make an investment in this community. And it will bring jobs. It will bring about 70 jobs in the retail store. It'll probably bring somewhere around 150 construction jobs, real construction jobs paying good wages. And many of the contractors will be from the local geographic area that will be working on the project. And it's going to be an over and excess of $10 million investment in construction with all of the different aspects of the project, which will be an additional stimulant effect to this community. So I urge you to move this forward tonight. And come up with a positive vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Julie Crowley and then Gary Ferguson.
Good evening. I'm Julie Crowley. I own Ithaca Coffee Company and Trip Hammer Wines and Spirits. I live in the town of Ithaca. I do business in the Village of Lansing and in the city of Ithaca. I'm here to ask for your support for the resolution filed by Mr. Dennis to approve the issuance and use of the recovery funds bonds for a project in the Village of Lansing that would include 12 units of senior housing and the site of a proposed BJ's Wholesale Club. I understand that because of the deal arranged through TCAD for the tax abatement, there would be no competitive advantage to BJ's Wholesale Club, which would be paying market rent, including property taxes. Therefore, it is not a tax abatement for big box retail. We as a community need to consider where additional funds would come from to support our government services. Essentially, there's only sales tax revenue and property tax revenue. And I know I pay enough sales property tax. I don't see another project in the works that has the same potential to bring this amount of revenue. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Gary Ferguson and then Eric Getzman.
Hi, I'm Gary Ferguson, and I'm with the Downtown Ithaca Alliance. And I'm here to speak tonight on the Arrowhead Ventures resolution that's before you. You've got three parts to that resolution. One is first two parts create help to deal with the issuance of recovery bonds, and the third part is to create the PIF to help pay for them. It's somewhat difficult because I actually I am from the world of economic development, and I know economic development, I think, fairly well. Yet I'm here saying I have some concerns about this particular deal. Let me tell you what I'm not concerned about. I'm not concerned about the issuance of recovery bonds. It's a great idea. Smart thought. Good idea. Use them. That's wonderful. So that's not the issue that I really am here to speak about. I'm really not here to speak about BJ's. The fact that a big box store, and I have my own preferences about big box stores and their impact certainly on our community, I'm not here to talk about that or to have a problem with that. Even the location of the big box store, at the Pyramid Mall. I'm not here to talk about the housing project. In the housing project, a nice 12-unit housing project in the village. The issue that I have is not about any of that. It's about linking this PIF and the tax incentives that go with it with the broader project. A lot of it, folks have said this is not really an effort to subsidize BJ's. And in fact, it's not. It's really an effort. I mean, this is a subsidy to the developer of this project. And I guess my concern is the precedent this sets. TCAD and the IDA, historically over the years, have not given incentives to big box stores. That's been a policy. That's been sort of one of the rules of the road that this community and this IDA has operated under. And this has the makings of changing that. And that is my real concern. It's not that there's a housing project that's worthy of some support, because I think there is. It's not that there's a BJ's or a big box store that's looking to come into the community. All of the big box stores that have come into our community, whether they be at the Pyramid Mall or whether they be in Ithaca, they've come in on their own volition. They've not received tax abatements or incentives. They've come in on their own nickel, and we, the community, have taken advantage of their sales tax revenues. We've not had to subsidize or support them. My concern is that be careful what road you go down, because there will be others at the door behind here. And I will be back at each one of them going, my God, please be careful. What are you doing? What's going to happen to our community? Are you upsetting the apple cart? Are you tilting the table? I think historically we've had a policy and a tradition at the IDA of not dealing with big box projects. I would urge you to keep that in mind as you move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Eric Getzman is the last speaker who signed up.
Good evening. My name is Eric Getzman, and the application before you is Arrowhead, is my application. There's been a lot of rhetoric and misinformation that's been circulating about this project, in particularly with the project being caught between the competing agendas of the city and the county. BJ's is a national tenant. They will generate sales in Tompkins County, and they will attract people from neighboring shops, neighboring counties who will shop here. There's been talk of this feasibility study, which was done. We were before the IDA with numbers that seemed extremely high, sales projections, because BJ's and wholesale clubs generate a tremendous amount of sales. The IDA asked us, requested us, that a third party prove these numbers out, which we did, and we were required to pay for. So that is the study that we keep hearing about. Every study conducted shows that BJ's will reduce the leakage of sales from Tompkins County that are currently going to other counties. That specific report suggests there's $144 million of general sales leaving Tompkins County, with over $200 million entering Chemung County. That's the story we hear about people shopping at BJ's Wholesale Clubs or Sam's Club. I've spoken to many people about this project over the past few years, and overwhelmingly a number of them have told me in private that they do have cars and they travel to Onondaga County, Chemung, and other counties surrounding us. You know, whether you believe the market study numbers or the county's own more conservative estimates, supporting this project with the benefits requested will yield over 600% return on investment for Tompkins County. This return exists even with the assumptions that a large percentage of sales are not taxable. This assumption is faulty since, in fact, a large percentage of the grocery sales at BJ's are, in fact, taxable, such as beverages, toiletries, candy, cleaning products, etc. You know, over 20 years, on a conservative basis, this project could generate in excess of $20 million to the county in sales tax revenue. You know, some people in the city, from the meetings that I've been, the public hearings, have expressed concerns that BJ's would just take away sales in the city and not add new sales. The market study clearly reports and addresses this point and notes that BJ's has a broad but thin selection of products that does not impact any one retailer to a great extent. It is completely disingenuous for them to make this claim, since they are lobbying to have BJ's located in the city. You know, in one breath, and saying BJ's will harm local business, and in the same breath, lobby hard for BJ's being the core of the city. Look, no tax incentives are being given to the retailers' project. They will pay property taxes like everyone else. All retailers are treated equally under this program. BJ's has made it perfectly clear, not only to me, but directly to a subcommittee of the IDA in a telephone conversation, that they are not interested in being located in the city. It is true they went to the city, and that's part of our business. The tenants, when looking at a new area, it's no different than when you're buying a car. You may go to two dealerships to try and get a better price. When BJ's came to Tompkins County, they came to the city. They came to us. They go through an extensive real estate committee selection process, and they put a pin in the map where they want to be, and that's where they end up going. You know, if this project fails to move forward, BJ's will not go elsewhere. They're not going to be in the city. Don't be fooled otherwise. And they were very clear with that with the senior people in the conversation we had. We have shared all of our information with the IDA, been very open. It has been reviewed and confirmed by independent third parties, which the IDA has asked us to bring in and pay for. They've been brought in by the IDA. The economic incentives being asked for here are necessary to complete this project. It is not financeable or economically feasible without this support, even with the market rate rent that BJ's are paying. Yeah, I'm before you this evening to ask for your support in moving this project forward so we can bring BJ's and the other piece of this product, the additional housing units and the bird habitat wetland that we're working on. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the legislature and the public? All right, thank you. Now, we have a slot here for municipal officials, and I think we have two. So, Don or Carolyn, if you would... Is Carolyn still here? If you'd like to address the legislature on anything else, this would be a good time.
On a different topic?
On any topic. 5 minutes. This is a different topic. Yeah, not this. Not BJ's.
Okay. No, let her choose herself.
I'm saying if they wanted to.
Let them both speak. It's not often we get two.
I minutes. I did. I said, if either of you would like to address us.
Any two.
No pressure.
No, you.
I would like to address you and thank you for the opportunity to come here. One thing I forgot to mention, and so this probably violates your rule a little bit, but the Village Board of Trustees last night passed the resolution that permits this to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Carolyn, anything else on your mind?
Well, Don violated the rule. I'll only take that much time. In fact, there are businesses downtown where one can buy a bulk, one that just recently opened within the last year. One doesn't have to go out of the county, and exactly that is what we are worried about. But in other areas, some of you know that I've been appointed as a representative to the EPA, Local Government Advisory Committee. 30 mayors and other elected leaders and tribal leaders from across the country were named by the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson to give advice to the EPA on a two-year term on various issues. So I took that opportunity to talk about hydrofracking both days of the sessions in Washington, D.C. Many of the other mayors in attendance did not know what hydrofracking is, except for the mayors out west, who lightly took the east to task, saying, you know, it wasn't until it got to the northeast that all the attention has been given. And a lot of that is thanks to you, our county, and officials who are active in the northeast about this issue. It is true, we are looking at the Pittsburgh model, which was more or less ruled perhaps not a legitimate sort of resolution on opposing hydrofracking in the city of Pittsburgh, but we're looking at that for a model. We will look forward to your resolution as well for additional support about the very deep concern of hydrofracking, the concern for chemicals in our lives, the air we breathe, the clean water, which is one of the major resources of the Northeast. So I just want to remind you and say that the City of Ithaca is your partner in this, and anything we can do in working together on this really important issue, we stand right by your side.
Thank you, Carolyn. Any questions for Carolyn? Frank?
Thank you,
Mark. Or for Don, I'm sorry.
Well, I have a question for both of you, and I wasn't kidding. We often don't get a mayor, let alone two mayors, so it has nothing to do with the topic you've been discussing. The state periodically pulls the mayors together to brainwash you about one thing or another. Anything going on at the state level that's going to affect either or both of your municipalities that we should be aware of?
Well, yes. That's the short answer. I'm on the executive board of the New York Conference of Mayors, and Don is certainly, as a mayor, a member of that as well. We have done a lot of work on mandate relief, and I have a resolution that I'll be bringing to the City of Ithaca in a couple weeks on addressing the property tax cap that is highly likely to come into play under Governor-elect Cuomo. And the NICOM has done a great deal of work on mandate relief, so the resolution addresses that. We have a list of approximately 50 mandates that affect cities, 50 mandates that affect cities, and we are devising a resolution that is urging the governor to take that into account as we're looking at any possible property tax caps, look at mandate relief, and I know that the county is doing a similar approach.
One of the other things that we passed last evening was, in fact, a resolution addressing exactly that subject in terms of the mandates. In our case, the biggest impact is on stormwater in terms of the engineering costs that we suffer, satisfying that requirement, and other features of that. The other thing that I'm concerned about is the balance in taxes between towns, villages, and states.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks. Anyone else? Thank you both. Appreciate it. It is great to have you both here. Legislator, privilege of the floor. Anyone? Jim?
It has nothing to do with anything that we've heard tonight, but the color of the lights in the place reminds me of Lowe's, big box store, Home Depot, another big box store, in the appliance department. So I would hope that we can make every effort to lose these before the next meeting.
Little yellow spectrum.
Very important. Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Carol?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've reported back to you anything about the Tompkins County Council of Governments Gas Drilling Task Force and some of the things that they've been doing. And they continue to meet monthly. And have organized into various full-body discussion and subcommittees. just this afternoon, the group heard interesting presentations from the committees that are dealing with mapping the proposed work plan from Darby Kiley, a little bit of an update about road protection, and assessment, which I'll talk about a little bit. The mapping work in particular, I just thought you might want something of an update. The mapping work in particular is quite interesting. Art Pierce agreed to head a subcommittee. He and a woman named Karen Edelstein and a student who's a GIS student named Zach Patton are trying to develop a tool to be able to map and depict the potential impact of hydrofracking on this area, sort of, so that the community can have a discussion based on a sort of a unified understanding of what this actually might look like, what areas would drilling be able to happen in, and what areas wouldn't they? And it's raised very interesting questions about the, in order to create a map that's useful. You obviously can't have a drill pad in the middle of an existing road or a stream bed or in the middle of the lake. So where might these things go? But just the assumptions that a community or that each community separately would use to determine what might a potential build-out be like. It becomes a point of community discussion about what assumptions you're using. How far from the stream will this community try to keep that development from going? What do we think might happen? So that's very interesting to watch for future results, and it might be a good topic for a presentation here. Darby Kiley, who is the planner being funded by the Park Foundation to work with both TCOG, the county, and our municipalities, laid out a little bit of what her thinking is about her focus for the upcoming year, which is to provide technical support to what is now being called TANG, Tompkins Addresses Natural Gas. It's an attempt at a shorter acronym than Tompkins County Council of Governments Task Force on Drilling. Of particular interest, she's going to look at best practices for local governments, work with some of our communities, our municipalities, on their Vital Communities Toolbox, provide some direct assistance to municipalities. And for county purposes, she's joining the subcommittee that I said that I would head on assessment and land valuation. We're going to be meeting a week from Monday with Jay Franklin, some of the people who represent the realtors, some of the people who've done the mapping to date that Jay is using in helping to value land that has current leases, and so she'll be working with us as well. The other general announcements, road use agreements came up, and that'll be a focus of the next meeting, I think, on January 20th at 3 in the afternoon, if anybody's interested. Sharon Anderson and Cooperative Extension are organizing a trip to Bradford County and municipal officials there, so watch for results from that. And so it's been very interesting to be part of that group. And if you have questions, either you can ask them or see me later, and I'll answer them. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol. Dooley, and then Will.
It seems quite a long time ago now when this county expressed support for a single-payer approach to health care as a good way to control costs and be equitable. And what's interesting now is that at a conference in Philadelphia last month, a number of activists have reached the conclusion, not surprisingly, that it will only be achieved by going state by state. And in particular, Vermont is very close to taking this kind of action. And in connection with that, there will be programs on our local access channel today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at various times, that's channel 13, in which a man from the Vermont Workers' Center and other state activists are interviewed. So Locally, the Healthcare for All Committee will be probably having hour-long vigils this winter on the second Wednesdays of the month. So when you pass them, you can honk for single payer if you want. But the issue is not dead, and it's encouraging. I hope that our state will look at this seriously. It would certainly help our economic situation, too.
Thank you, Dooley. Will, Pam, did I see your name?
Thank you, Martha. Last weekend, there were many things happening. One of them was the Ithaca Alternative Gifts Fair. Unfortunately, I didn't go this year, and I was sorry because I've gone in recent years and found it a wonderful way to become familiar with the huge variety of local organizations that are doing great work and give something during this time. The good news for me and for everybody else is that this year they have set it up so it's very easy to give online. And if you Google Ithaca Alternative Gift Fair, you'll come to a site that will give you quick descriptions of a huge variety of organizations and what a $5, $10, $50 donation would do for each of those. So I encourage everybody to check that out. Something that I did do, however, about a week or so ago, we had the ribbon cutting for the Phase 3 of the Cuca Waterfront Trail. And I was delighted. I see Jean's still out there. Jean was in her walking shoes and many other people. We walked that whole section, and it was just a delight. If you haven't had the chance to do it, go down it. It loops through Stewart Park, and you will see the park in a way I had never seen it before. It's just a lot of little interesting vistas, a wonderful crossing through the two bridges that abut the bird sanctuary. It is really, really a wonderful addition to our community. But this being the season of giving, they are still looking for support, and they are welcoming support in terms of donations of bricks and cornerstones. You can do this in your own name, the name of a loved one. The bricks, I think, start at $75. I even saw one near the entranceway where somebody had emblazoned a brick with no fracking way. So there are many opportunities, and I would encourage everybody to check out the Cuca Waterfront Trail.
Thank you, Will. I got Pam, Leslin, and then Frank.
I just wanted to, since we started talking about gas drilling, I wanted to let the public know that on Wednesday at 6:30 at the Trumansburg High School, there's going to be a panel for people to talk and explain the implications of hydrofracking. There will be some people who are living in Pennsylvania who are in the middle of what's going on there who will be there to talk about what's happened to their lives. So if there's anybody out there who wants to know more about this issue, tomorrow night at Trumansburg High School at 6:30.
Thank you, Pam. Leslin?
I was at the Ithaca Alternatives Gifts Fair on Saturday. Thank you, Will, for mentioning it, and hope that people will shop online. It's now 2 weeks, I think, instead of just 1 week. So please shop. It is a wonderful alternative way to give a gift to someone. At the same time of the Alternatives Gifts Fair, our law enforcement folks in this community and our Downtown Ithaca Alliance were bringing the holiday spirit to Downtown Ithaca. And I want to thank them because every year families and children come out to see this guy in a red suit called Santa fall out of the sky and come down the side of a building. Now, I'm thankful because as a mother, my daughter now really believes that Santa comes out of the sky. and that I'm not the one who eats the cookies and drinks the milk. But Santa actually does come. It was a wonderful event, and really every year our professional men and women are willing to dress up in elf uniform costumes and Santa suits and everything else, and those of us who can't sing will sit out there and try to sing a holiday tunes. And it was just lovely, lovely event for families, for children, and all the activities that were there in Downtown Ithaca. Maidada is quoted somewhere as saying she asked Santa for a phone, but he gave her a coloring book. She's not sure what kind of Santa that is. she thought Santa brings what you ask for. So I just want to say thank you to them for doing such a wonderful job with it, and especially to our law enforcement officers. In the spirit of giving, I also do want to remind folks that, again, every penny counts. It is not too late to give to United Way. Never is too late. Your dollars go a long way. Just thinking back of some of the gifts at the gift fair, you know, $3 or $5 to help a woman get the pair of nylons that she can put on to go to a job interview matters. So sometimes when we're buying that cup of coffee, to just think about the folks who are in need, especially during this season, given the rough times, give as generously as you can. Every penny counts. Thank you.
Leslie, is Indira texting?
Indira is texting, so watch out. She gets a hold of phones, and you'll be getting strange messages at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I hope not while she's driving, at least.
Yes, she is.
Frank, Mike, and Brian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the spirit of continuing announcements, just to remind you that the Brooktondale community and the Danby Federated Church are both having their holiday fairs where you can buy homemade goods and whatnot coming up this weekend and the following weekend. I have a message for Mayor Peterson and for Mayor Hartel. Carolyn, thanks for the comment about the capping, because that is a concern that we're dealing with. And Don, get a hold of Lynn Leopold. She's on the Water Resources Council. We help do the stormwater stuff. So if we can help you out, we will. We shall. I'm a member of the state's Blue Ribbon Committee on Agriculture, that special task force that we formed earlier this year. Pat and I are participating in that, Pat Pryor and I. There'll be another meeting in February, and hopefully both of us can go up. It's for phase two, because the first part of that report just could not get completed, if you remember. There were just pieces that we could not get time to address, so I'll be picking some of your brains about the what parts of agriculture you want us to concentrate on. And you know my favorite is equine. The lastly, and this is a little bit of a sober note, today is December 7th. It's the day Pearl Harbor was attacked, and some of us, as a matter of fact, all of us, I'm sure, have a memory of that in some regard. Take a moment when you have some time and just give thanks that we're here, and please remember the people who are not. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Mike?
Yes, it is Pearl Harbor Day, Frank, and I don't have a memory of it, but I think a lot of people do, simply because I wasn't here then. But my father was a member of the armed services during World War II, and Pearl Harbor led to our involvement in that war. What I want to think about today is our service people in Iraq and Afghanistan and in Korea, where we have to think about what's going on, people in harm's way all the time. In Afghanistan, they've been there almost twice as long as World War II lasted. If you think about that, it hasn't got as many casualties as World War II, but each casualty is just as serious to the members of the family as those who were killed during the Great War in World War II. So we need to think about that. And it's all right to pause on December 7th and think of the Day of Infamy and to think about our armed services out there protecting us.
Thank you, Mike. Brian, did you have your hand up?
I did. Yeah, I just wanted to report very quickly, and I know Joe's going to speak about it a little later, but throughout the last couple of days, I've had conversations with several law enforcement officers, and also I spoke with Lee Shurtleff today about the new CAD system and MDT systems and all that that just were put into motion Monday. First off, I'm very impressed that
from the time of project approval till now, it didn't seem that long ago. And we all know projects that say, oh, yeah, we're going to get started whenever, and they don't seem to happen. I believe these people are actually ahead of schedule. Lee reported to me today very few glitches. The officers have all been trained, and the system is working well. Unfortunately, earlier today, it was really put to the test with another unfortunate homicide in the city. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, you're right. You're right. Just outside the city. I stand corrected, Carolyn. Sorry. And the system worked very well. So our investment is paying off, and it's particularly important to those of us that live out in the rural areas that communication not be one of the obstacles in the way of help, and this is really going to help. So, sorry, Joe, if I stole your thunder on that, but Lee asked me to comment on that. So.
Thank you for mentioning that, Brian. It is like light speed. I mean, I remember when we voted the approval, Greg said, we want to try to get this done by the end of the year. I said, this year? And
right.
And then you're right, they're ahead of schedule.
Of course, you're dealing with law enforcement people too, and they're always on the ball and very prompt. So it doesn't surprise me.
Absolutely.
Carol? Can I ask a question? It was our CAD system that's responsible for the call that I got at 2:30 in the morning,
no,
and then
that,
at 3:30 in the morning, and
alert.
Then
not
at 5:30 in the morning.
Because I got one too.
Not ours. Anyone else? All right, thank you all. For my report, a couple of things. A number of us had a chance to meet with Senator-elect Tom O'Mara last week, and thank you all of you who could make time for that meeting. We talked to him about our home rule request for a mortgage recording tax increase and the extension of the 1% sales tax. We'll see how that goes. Looks like nothing's going to happen until the new session on that. We did ask that he support pushing that up to the beginning of session instead of the end, which they usually do. He agreed with that. He also has seen the NYSAC position on nine mandates, and you know, Joe made a presentation on that a couple of meetings ago. He comes from county government, basically. It was one of his former lives, and so he seems to be sympathetic to the issue of our mandate problems and said he wants to see relief of the mandates at the same time as any property tax cap is put in place. Hope he's right. Hope that can happen. We are still working to schedule something with Congressman-elect Richard Hanna. I'll certainly let you all know as soon as I hear back from him on that. I have, on November 30th, the State Department of Health did issue their report on the state takeover of Medicaid. And I have some comments from Patricia Carey and Lisa Holmes so far on certain issues in the report. Still waiting for NYSAC's analysis of the report. And when the IDA business might settle down, maybe I'll be able to read the report myself. But if anybody wants to see it, I can certainly give you a copy or send you the link. And quickly on two other things. There's a meeting next Sunday, 7 o'clock. Nobody mentioned this one. Also on gas drilling, there's a Cornell class that's been working on studying the impacts of drilling in Pennsylvania and other places. That will be 7 o'clock in the Ithaca Town Hall. I think George France is the class instructor. And I don't know whether the new CAD was working during that flood last week, but I want to say when we had, 2 inches of rain in an hour or something, our Highway Department and Department of Emergency Response were working overtime and, you know, really working very quickly. I know in terms of the flood out in my neighborhood, I happened to drive east to my house in the middle of the day, and, you know, a number of areas were very completely washed out, including my driveway. By the time I drove back, the floods were gone, so the clogs had been removed. So they worked very quickly, and repairing the damage would take a little longer, but they were very quick on the in the immediate moment. So thanks to our staff for doing that. That's my report. Any questions? Thank you. County Administrator's report, Joe.
Thanks, Martha. I have a few items tonight, all of them brief, I think. I know you're all disappointed, but the retreat that we tried to schedule for mid-month this month to talk more about the budget, we're going to postpone that until early next month. Everybody tried, but the middle part of December is a very difficult time to schedule a retreat, so we're going to push that back to January. Several of you have gotten your surveys back to us already on the budget. Pretty interesting to review those. For those of you who haven't yet, I think it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. So if you can do the electronic survey and get it to us, that would be great. If you want to do it in a manual way, that would be fine too. Department heads will be getting their version of this as early as tomorrow, so we'll be able to look at their responses as well very quickly. The other retreat that we've talked about that will involve both this group and department heads, we're now going to look at a February date for that, and we'll begin working with you on dates that look good for as many people as possible. And let's consider this last call. If you'd like to volunteer for the agenda planning group to be involved with that, please let me know, and we'd be happy to have you involved in the planning of that. Different topic. We have started round two of our search for a public health director. The search is underway. Advertisements have been distributed far and wide. Resumes are due back to us on December 30th. We hope to have a selection for your consideration by the middle of March, March 15th. Leslin and Frank have both been asked to continue on the search committee. I think both have agreed to do that. So that process is underway as well. We are also beginning to take a serious exploration of workplace flexibility. That's something that we've talked about a great deal over the past year or so. It's everything from flex time to job sharing to non-traditional things like work from home. And we've assembled a work group of department heads, deputy department heads, to take a serious look at that. That effort will be co-chaired by Anita Fitzpatrick and Ed Marks, and work will get underway very soon on that. We have distributed the RFP for the consultant to take a look at ways that we can improve the finances of the Certified Home Health Agency, the CHA. And that RFP is now out and in distribution. We expect to get responses back by the middle of this month. We hope to have a recommendation made by early January and results back as early as mid-March. So that's underway. There is an item on tonight's agenda. I'm not sure of the status of that. It relates to Martin Luther King Jr. Street. I just wanted to update you on some things that are happening that are in keeping with the spirit of what is proposed in that resolution. I think all of you know that there is a sign that has been installed in front of the Human Service Building that has the new address, Martin Luther King Jr. Street, on that sign, as well as State Street. I think it's in that order. Letterheads have been changed, so the DSS letterhead now reflects the dual addresses, as does probation and youth's will, as soon as they exhaust their current supply of letterhead, but that is very shortly. The web page addresses have been changed in most cases to reflect that. We still have some work to do, so we will continue to make those changes over the next little while, but again, in keeping with the spirit of what has been proposed by that resolution. I think that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Questions? Frank?
Joe, I'm sorry. Two questions. Did you say that those three departments will maintain using both addresses, or...
Currently, it's the dual address on letterheads and on the web page. So if you look, for example, for DSS on the web page right now, you would see Martin Luther King Jr. Street / State Street.
And once the existing supply of stationery is exhausted, it will become...
No, youth right now still has State. They have old letterhead. And being frugal... They want to use that letterhead. The new order of letterhead will have the dual address on it.
Oh, the dual address.
Yes.
Okay, second question. a couple of months ago, there was a proposal for a, this is not a setup, Joe. There was a proposal to offer some employees or all employees an opportunity to buy out. Remember that? Have we had any employees take advantage of that?
Yes. I'll get you. I was asking about this several weeks ago, and I think I used the number 8. I haven't looked to see if that needs to be updated, but we've had a relatively good response to that. And you recall, you have until the end of next March to take advantage of it. So I think the first rush we've seen, and we'll probably see a second rush as we approach that March deadline. But I will get you accounts. I know Brian asked about it one time before. I'll get a report to the legislature on.
And third
and that's
one.
The early retirement program.
Right,
it
that's
is.
What it was.
Right. That's right.
Is there anything new developing on the insurance consortium with TCOG? Everything falling into place
everything
for the first of the year?
Everything looks to be going well. There's this thing that they're called ancillary benefits. There are some governments in the county that provide kind of non-traditional benefits, including legal services. Dental's pretty traditional. Vision and so forth that we don't provide. And efforts have been made to line up that kind of coverage so that we can make good on the commitment that it's equal to or better than what you already have. So, for example, if the town of Caroline provides now vision care, Excellus doesn't. So we've been able to go out and find alternative providers for that kind of coverage, and we've made very good headway. I think everything is absolutely good to go for January 1st.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Joe. I forgot to mention an annual ritual. We need to be talking about our direct report evaluations. So I will set something up as far as the process goes. If any of you is interested in participating in that, it would be good to have a committee of 3 or 4 or so, as was done last year. So let me know if you're interested in participating in those evaluations for our 4 direct reports. Thank you. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I have no report.
Thank you. Finance Director David Squires.
I'll start out with the bad news. We went to the bond market on November 30th, and and this is the first time I can report to you that actually my expectations were not realized. The bond market in the months of October and November had pretty much a steady downhill swing, so much so that historically it's the worst. November was the worst month since 2003. The good news is that we sold our bonds, $17,990,000, at a rate average interest rate of 3.75%. We were expecting a rate of about 3.25%. The difference over the life of the bonds, if it had been 3.25%, was about $600,000. And it was everybody who went to the market in November got creamed, much like the New York Jets last night. And part of the issue, there was a perfect storm in the bond market because there was a flood. Everybody was going to market. California issued $2 billion worth of bonds, and we only got 2 bidders for our bonds, which also affected the situation. The good news is, though, that in the budget, 2011 budget, the amount we budgeted for debt service was more than the cost we'll actually be paying. So that, by about $150,000. We had a note sale of $2.4 million, which came in where we thought it would, at an interest rate of 0.53%. But where we got cream was in the bonds in excess of 10 years. The interest rates started off at 3%, and then they jumped after 12, 15 years to 4%, to 4.25%. And we have like about $9 million to $17 million were at the outer end of the. So, but everybody who went to market got creamed. A comparable issue to ours, not as highly rated as us, had an average rate of 4.4%. So the bond rating counted, but it didn't. I can't say that it saved us money, but we just were unlucky this time around. I put in your boxes an updated list of those properties that still have not paid and are still subject to foreclosure. And there's been some redemptions, but not a lot. The final day to pay is January the 11th. And also I wanted to make sure that you were aware that New York State informed us that the county has to act if we want to take advantage of imposing sales tax on clothing next year. The state gave us notice last week that you will have to act. And I sent a memo that was just sent around with the agenda. The county administrator and I are not recommending that you consider this because it would create such a large hole in the 2011 budget. But if you were so inclined, you'd have to go next meeting and pass a resolution because the state requires notification by January 1st.
Thank you very much, David. Any questions? Carol?
Can you tell us anything about the term on the bonds and prepayment penalties or fees?
The bonds are, the longest bond, have here for the clerk the official statement, which the last goes out to 2032. And the bonds can be redeemed in 2015.
So that's for Nathan and Frank.
So we could refund the bonds in 2015 if interest rates decline. And historically, at 3.75% net interest cost, that's right in line with what we've been paying since 2005. As a point of reference, the first bond issue I was involved with here in 1992, the coupon rates were closer to 5.25%. And so since 2005, we've been paying on long-term debt under 4%. And we expect that bond rates are going to go up over 4% in the very near term. But this is for county records.
Frank?
David, I think you and Joe deserve a real pat on the back for going back to the state and getting them to drop that negative rating or
negative outlook.
Oh, so the rating agency.
Yeah, the AA one. Well, it really, I'm not sure that helped us in the bidding, but at least it didn't hurt, right? But thank you.
Peter.
I have a question about this business of going to market. When you say you were surprised, that was a big difference between what you expected and what you got. And I wonder how that can be. I mean, can you look the day before you went to market and see, in fact, what a similarly rated municipal bond sold for? Was this a huge change in one day, or could you have decided not to accept that offer if you wanted?
Well, we could have, but the problem is that we had $20 million of notes due on December the 17th. So the only, and you have a, so we could have turned down, but we would not have been able to meet the deadline to refund these $20 million of notes, which we paid off with the proceeds of the bonds on the 15th. There had been very few sales. The market had, what we weren't looking at is there had been a flood of Build America bonds, which are these taxable bonds that pay a rebate by the Treasury Department to subsidize the higher interest cost. And nationally, that basically, that plus that because the overall the stock market was going so well, a lot of people were withdrawing their monies from mutual funds, money market mutual funds, and causing a lot of withdrawals and having the people sell bonds. So the market just totally declined, and they said it was the perfect storm in the month of November. And as a matter of fact, as we speak, tax-exempt bonds on the long end are paying a higher interest rate than taxable U.S. treasuries. And this is a very rare occurrence. And we just, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have any flexibility of canceling the sale.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
There will be a quiz at the end of our meeting tonight. Thank you, David. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Jim.
Thank you, Martha. I would like to withdraw resolution number V, which is the urging county departments and employers to transition to use MLK Junior Street that Joe spoke of. My sense is that it should go back to the committee, and we need to reword some of it to get the impact that we really want in the resolution. So I would like to withdraw that this time.
Thank you. Pam?
Yes, I'd like to withdraw resolution T.
That did not pass the committee.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. We have a consent agenda. Everybody relax. We have a long list of appointments and resolutions. These are to be voted on as a group because they're considered non-controversial. If you want anything to be pulled from the consent agenda, please just call out so I will stop. Resolution A, audit of final payment efforts of construction, County Road 121, Warren Road reconstruction, Town and Village of Lansing. A revised resolution B, should be in your folder, revised by the committee, award of bid inbound and outbound scale replacement, Tompkins County Solid Waste Management Division. Resolution C, also revised by the committee in your folder, authorizing the filing of an application to New York State for the Household Hazardous Waste State Assistance Program and signing of the associated state contract under the appropriate laws of New York State. Resolution D, award of bid bridge painting. Resolution E, adoption of apportionment of taxes for 2011. Resolution F, returned school taxes. Resolution G, returned village taxes. Resolution H, date of organizational meeting. Resolution I, budget I?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution J, fall 2010 community celebrations grants. Resolution K, award of fall 2010 tourism marketing and advertising grants. Resolution L, designation of tourism promotion agency. Resolution M, award of fall 2010 tourism project grants. Resolution N, workers' compensation budget and apportionment mutual self-insurance plan. Resolution O, town and city budgets and printing of tax rates. Resolution P, authorization to sign drafts, county administrator. Resolution Q, authorization for finance director to make year-end transfers, appropriations, and budget adjustments as required. And Resolution R, approving completed tax rolls and directing the executing and delivery of warrants. For the appointment list, for the Joint Committee on Plan, Structure, and Design of the Health Insurance Consortium, Steve Estes, Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, Bob Mazurek and David M. Diaz, Environmental Management Council, Dan Lamb, Katie Kelly, James McGarry, Kenny Christensen, David Slotje, and Brian Eden. Water Resources Council, William Bill Garthwaite.
Just a clarification on that one. It doesn't have to come off. There was some concern at the committee meeting that this gentleman was using a P.O. box instead of a street address. I have the street address for you, which if you want to pull it off, I can give it to you right now. It's 1014 East Shore Drive. 1014 East Shore Drive.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
You bet. Thank you.
Damon Rodnack, Craig Schutt, Lynn Leopold, Darby Kiley, Daniel Carrick, and Roxana Johnston. That's, again, the Water Resources Council. Planning Advisory Board, David Herrick, Scott Whittem, Susan Cosentini, and David Kay. Public Information Advisory Board, Christine C.J. Del Vecchio, Advisory Board on Indigent Representation. Kelly Dam, Heather Bissell, Deborah Dietrich. Criminal Justice Advisory Alternatives to Incarceration Board, Linda Riley, Susan Cook, and Tammy Baker. Stop DWI Advisory Board, Sonia Seaman. Emergency Communication Review and Oversight Committee, Edward Abruzzo and Jason Fulton. Traffic Safety Board, Fernando de Aragon. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Larry Roberts and Patricia Carey. Do I have a motion on the consent agenda? Frank moves, Leslie seconds. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.